Sats Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the show. I'm Papa Biggs. This is the Papa Biggs Show. You can listen to us every single day of the week here on ersatsradio.co.uk. Coming at you, here is my friend and companion and son. He is someone.
I've begun. I'm the co-host of Very First Son. I'm someone's son's son, and I live in the sun. Spitting hot fire like from out of a gun. You better run to your radio and turn it on. We're the Papa Biggs crew, we do radio for fun. My rapping skills are poor, but I picked a good drum. Are you stunned? The number of dams we give it equal to none. The introduction's done. Because my name is Sun One.
Hello, it's me, Sun One. Hello, it's me. Hello, Sun One. Hello.
Yes, indeed, it is you. How are you?
Yes, I'm wonderful. How are you?
Perfectly adequate. I'm ready to do another show. What have we got coming up on today's show, then? Sun One, please.
I think we're going to play some good music,
Music. Yeah, I think we should. I think that's always a good sign. And we'll also have some trailers where we look at the week's trailers and we'll tell you whether they're good, bad or indifferent. You can watch them with us.
Yeah, you should. You definitely should. And we'll also do what we're watching reading, where we look at what we watched and what we read.
And if we've got time, we'll do some other stuff if we've got time. But first, if you want to get in contact with the show, then, well, just listen to this.
You can get in contact with us at Biggs Papa on Twitter, The Papa Biggs Show on Facebook, SoundCloud, YouTube and Pinterest, at Ersatz Radio on Twitter, Ersatz Radio on Facebook, SoundCloud and YouTube, ersatzradio.co.uk and cafepress.co.uk/ersatzradio.
Ooh, we've got an exciting development here in the Papa Biggs studio.
Have we?
Something very epic.
Epic?
Something wonderful, something to make you moist. It's a wonderful, wonderful, epic thing.
What did you just... What? Carry on.
We've got a wonderful, amazing thing that's happened to the Papa Biggs show.
All right, yeah, well, we'll tell them later.
Why?
All right, tell them now then.
Fine, we'll tell them later. How about we tell them in the middle? We'll just stick that bit of information in the middle.
Good job.
Ooh, boy, howdy, that was the...
Dealer's wheel.
Yeah, of course.
We're stuck in the middle with you.
Ooh. And I've got a bit of a quizzical question for you, Papa Biggs.
Quizzical question, go on.
Ooh, what film was that from?
Well, it's from Reservoir Dogs, but...
Obviously. But we do love films here.
Yes, we do.
And
so
we
let's
love
do
trailers.
Some trailers.
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 Yes, of course. Trailers, the part of the show where we look at five trailers for films, for TV, for games, for anything, whatever we feel like it. We look at them, we tell you what we think of them.
You're on it today, are you?
I'm
on
it like
on.
A car bonnet.
Carry
we
on.
Tell you whether we think they're good, bad, or neither of those things. Using our thumbs. If you can watch these trailers, then you sure should, because they're over on the Papa Biggs Show YouTube channel. In a playlist, and we think you should watch them along with us.
Yeah, you sit and watch them while we talk about them, and then you can see what the hell it is we're talking about. Anyway, the first trailer coming up. Well, that was that slip of the tongue. The first trailer we have for you this week is Swamp Thing. Now, what's this, someone?
It's a DC comic adaptation about a thing from the swamp.
Okay.
The Protector of the Green.
It is a TV series, is it not?
Yes,
not
it is.
Not a film. Okay, so interestingly, even though it's a comic book, they've gone for the kind of adult one, haven't they? They've gone for... it was aimed at adults when it was rebooted under Alan Moore's tutelage and his writing with the artist Bernie Wrightson when it was rebooted in the comics. So they've obviously gone for that kind of... that kind of look and that kind of audience and tried to take it very seriously, which I'm not sure is the right idea, to be honest, but we'll give it the benefit of the doubt because they've gone for a kind of horror aesthetic, have they not?
Yeah, and speaking of horror, they've plastered James Wan's name all over the trailer.
So who's James Wan then?
He does horror films and did Aquaman.
There you go.
And he's a relatively famous guy.
So I presume,
unlike
I
the
presume...
other people who are in this,
okay,
Henderson Wade, Andy Bean, Jennifer Beals and Derek Meese.
Well, Jennifer Beals may not be famous to you, But anybody of a certain age will remember Jennifer Beals from Flashdance back in the 80s. What a feeling! Okay,
stop.
There's a really weird bit in this trailer. I mean, there's a few... I quite like the fact that it doesn't give much away. I do like that about a trailer. But there's a weird bit. It's like out-of-focus sea lion in a room, in a bedroom. What's going on there?
Where's that?
You go back to the start. I'm sure it's an out-of-focus sea lion.
Right, guys, if you're watching this along with us,
yeah, so you've got,
go back to
you've
the
got
start.
The credits. Then you've got some lights on a swamp, on a boat, a young lad looking at his laptop, and then it cuts to some kind of strange things going on. You can't really see it, but it's very, very dark. Very, very dark. And we've got the POV,
roots.
Classic POV monster shot. And then some shenanigans. Then James Wan's name as an executive producer. Then a little girl who's had a nosebleed and she's fallen over. And then, this is what I'm talking about. You ready for it? Ready for it? A sea lion in a bedroom. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Out of focus. Weird. What's going on there?
This is just a bunch of scenes put together.
Yeah.
It's like...
it's a montage.
It's really strange.
That's what trailers are. Anyway, you've got... You do have glimpses of said swamp thing, which, of course, is Professor Alec... what's his name?
Holland.
Alec Holland.
Oh, that's Professor Pig. That guy there, I think.
Oh, yeah.
The guy who's got the pig head on and
axe.
Oh,
yes.
He's a Batman villain.
Ah. And there you go. Anyway, and there's some other kind of strange monsters in there. So it doesn't really give you any story, anything like that. But there's lots of carnage, lots of scary bits, lots of jump scares and movie monster sort of things going on.
I think we have a theme of
although it does hint,
scary violence this week, don't
we? That's okay. But
kind of.
It does hint at what the Alan Moore comic did. And there was a romance between said monster... and what was her name? What was her character's name? I can't remember now.
Just have
a
know.
Can you click on the IMDb?
It's not relevant, Dad.
Okay, anyway, there was a romance between a monster and girl.
Beauty
classic
and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast stuff, absolutely right. Anyway, what are you going to do with your thumb? When's that out, by the way?
May the 31st in the US of A.
Okay, what are you doing with your thumb?
Middle
for me as well. I'm not quite sure about this, but there you go. Anyway, what do we got for trailer number two, please?
We've got Crawl. Now this is
Crawl.
It's about a hurricane. There's a hurricane going on, and then two people get trapped in a house with a big crocodile.
So it starts off as a kind of a disaster movie, and then it moves into a kind of trapped in a house monster movie.
A trapped in a house with an alligator movie.
Yeah.
Or crocodile.
Yeah, alligator.
Alligator.
Crocodiles are from a different continent.
Oh, look at you. You know exactly the difference between...
alligators and crocodiles. Well,
exactly,
I don't know the exact differences, but I know they're from different continents and they're not the same kind of creature, actually. Anyway, so it's a young girl played by... help me out here.
Kaya Scolladero.
Yeah, I couldn't say her name either. And her dad... and dad's injured by the looks of it. And we've got the crawl part because they spend most of their first part of the trailer kind of crawling around in their own basement. And it's getting flooded and there's bits of furniture flying all over the place and there's people trying to rescue them. But unfortunately, they're not the only ones down there. A giant crocodile. comes out. Oh, that's an interesting thing. So halfway through the trailer... the name of Sam Raimi comes up. So I presume he's an executive producer, just like James Wan on the first one. And so obviously adds some weight to horror maestro Sam Raimi, who did the Evil Dead trilogy. Okay. Oh, it also says director of The Hills of Eyes. I'm presuming that's the remake rather than the original. Anyway, we then have from disaster movie and quite intense stuff, it then just goes straight out and out, alligator versus people. In a house.
So it's kind of like...
pretty much it. And it shows you everything, doesn't it?
A disaster movie, a Sharknado movie,
yeah,
and a horror movie all spliced into one.
Yeah. And it pretty much shows you the whole goddamn thing.
Pretty much. I mean, you don't know who wins. Is it alligator? Or
oh, it's
going to
be girl, isn't it? She's going to best the alligator. It pretty much shows you... if you watch this trailer, I think you don't need to watch the film. So there you go. I like it about Sam Raimi, but this is clearly not a Sam Raimi film. he's probably said, yeah, you can use my name, that's fine, just throw me a couple of quid. Anyway, what are you going to do with your thumb? Do we know when it's out? And do we know who else is in it?
August the 9th, and it stars the woman I said before, Kaya Scodelario, Barry Pepper, that's a very good name,
yeah,
and Ross Anderson.
Ross Anderson. Okay, so, yeah, what are you doing with thumb? I think I'm going to stick mine clearly down.
Me too.
Okay.
What's going on?
Trailer number 3, please.
Ophelia.
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 Who's Ophelia?
You're a failure.
Do you know this is? You know what this is actually based on?
Is it based on a book?
Yeah, quite based on a book. It's kind of Ophelia is a kind of a female version of Hamlet, the Billy Shakespeare play. You heard of that?
I've heard of him. I've heard of William Shakespeare and I've heard of Hamlet.
Don't do that with your microphone stand. It'll make an awful racket.
I hate you.
Okay.
No, sorry, I didn't mean that.
Anyway,
sorry.
This has a very good cast. Okay, so playing the titular character, Ophelia, is Daisy Ridley with long red hair. Didn't recognise her at first. I thought she looks familiar. And then I realised it's Rey from Star Wars. Anyway, she's playing a princess in this.
What?
What? And then we also have Naomi Watts and a very shouty Clive Owen, who plays the king. And it is the story. So it is clearly a period type drama with costumes and swords and all that type of shenanigans and political upheavals and court policies, all kinds of shenanigans as such. Anyway, it seems like Ophelia is the one who's going to be ousted, would you say is the right word?
I don't know what that
from
word
court
means. Maybe
she's going to be cast aside, thrown out, and there seems to be some kind of battle going on with her and Daisy Ridley and Naomi Watts,
Clive Owen and George McKay.
Clive Owen, well, he seems to be caught up in the middle
and,
as kind of an evil king.
Malfoy, I don't know the actor's name.
Okay.
Malfoy was there from the Harry Potter film.
All right. Mm-hmm. Looks interesting. Now, you had a comment about indie films because you're saying, look, it's,
yeah, but
when's it released?
It wasn't a real comment.
It's an interesting comment because when's it released?
May the 17th in the US of A.
Okay, but it was originally, it was made a good year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's only just been released. And you're like, what is that? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, it's doing film festivals.
I know exactly why. I was joking.
Yeah, I know. But it's actually an interesting point because that's what happens when things aren't made by a studio. When they're made independently, they have to go through the film festival circuit. And then hopefully, if it's good enough, they'll win some awards and get some notice and get an audience and somebody will come along and buy it and distribute it. And it won't be until they've gone through all that process, which may take, like you say, a year and a half, that it eventually then gets a proper release at the cinemas and gets distributed out into a wider audience because they might deserve it. And the same can be said for the one after this as well, which we'll talk about after we've decided what to do with our thumbs and after we play some music. So what are you doing with your thumb on Ophelia?
Thumb in the middle.
Yeah, I'm going to have a thumb in the middle. It looks a little bit too, I don't know, it seems to take itself a little bit too seriously. And I don't know if I can, I don't know about seeing Daisy Ridley. Because we watched her in Murder on the Orient Express and she was good in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hopefully she's not going to get typecast. And she doesn't seem to be suited to make the right sort of choices there, which is good.
I don't really know what's going on in this trailer.
So two thumbs in the middle. I'm not quite sure.
Medieval shenanigans.
Not quite sure what it's about, which can be a good thing. All right, we'll continue this after a little bit of this. That was Violent Femmes with Out of the Window.
We're in the middle of trailers where we look at 5 trailers from the past week and we tell you what we think of them using our thumbs. So far we've had Swamp Thing, Crawl and Ophelia.
I thought you actually said something then. I thought, well, you can't remember what the name of the song.
Swamp Thing. Okay. A thing from a swamp.
You did say Swamp Thing. Okay, you are listening to the Papa Big Show here on SS Radio. What is our next trailer, someone?
Zilla and Zoe.
What the hell is that?
It's about Azilla and Azo. That's two people. Or is that Zoe?
Zoe, yeah.
Zoe
is a girl's name.
Belt Zoe.
Well, it's pronounced Zoe. That's the girl's name.
I don't care.
And that is
okay.
The girl who appears in the trailer, the little girl. Young girl, probably about 12, say that. 11,
yeah,
12,
but she's
maybe.
She's a real bloody psychopath, isn't she?
She is.
And I don't mean bloody as in swearing. I mean bloody as in...
She likes a bit of blood.
The very first scene is her blowing up a doll that's filled with blood.
All right. So this is one of those quirky indie comedies with those crazy kind of characters. So you have a gay couple who are fathers to two young girls, one teenage girl and one, like I say, little girl of the title Zoe. And little Zoe is into her horror films and she likes monster makeup and all those kind of things.
And she dresses
and
up
elder
as a
sister
scalped.
In the trailer comes out as gay as well. And then what happens is little Zoe wants to enter a competition to create a horror film, but dads don't particularly they're not really into this kind of thing because she's freaking the neighbors out and she's annoying everybody. So they said, you can film your sister's wedding. So your sister's getting married to her partner, so you can film that instead. So Zoe thinks, well, this will be an ideal opportunity and I'll make my sister's wedding into a horror video. There you go. That's the whole thing. Okay. It could be quite good in terms of, like, if this was, I don't know, it kind of reminded me of Son of Rambo, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And it's got that kind of idea of, you know, two kids making film and everything like that and having fun with it and their characters, and they come from a interesting background. But it just seems really poorly acted and forced. A lot of it seems forced. It's not quite natural or just flowing. It all seems a little bit forced for my liking. I think that comes from the direction, really. Who's the director on this film? Jessica Scalise. I'm not so sure, Jessica. I'm not so sure you know what you're doing here. I think the premise is perfectly okay. And, you know, you're that type of child who's trying to make films and she's trying to, you know, come to terms with her own life and all that kind of thing. It can be funny and it can be quite moving and poignant, but I don't think they've got any of that. It looks a bit like, let's make it a wacky sitcom type thing. And it really, it's not working for me. What about you?
Well, thanks for letting me speak, Dad. I don't think I've spoken since we talked about Swamp Thing.
Go on, carry on.
I don't know. It doesn't look very funny. It's got all these different quotes like, oh, this is the funniest film you'll ever see. It's the best comedy film at the Oregon Independent Film Festival. And you know what else pisses me off about this? It's these little things. They've got this really poorly done Ken Burns effect that looks like they're done in iMovie. This is a really, really...
Kenny Burns effect.
It's not the best put together trailer. And it doesn't...
You're absolutely right about the trailer, because a trailer should be snappy, it should be quick, it should be instant, it should just give you a little bit of selection, and it's really quite a slowly cut trailer, and it kind of chunks of scenes in it, and it really doesn't work. And if it's trying to sell it as a comedy, well, then it should be funny, and it's
sharply
not.
Funny.
It's just not funny.
And it just doesn't address that this little kid here seems to be a bit of a psychopath.
Well, not necessarily.
Glosses over it.
But I don't think she comes across as a psychopath because she's making horror movies. She comes across as a psychopath because that's the way she's portrayed, which is a bit... Yeah, I'm not sure about that message. Because most of the people I know are into horror movies and everything. They're just sweet nerds.
But she keeps body parts in the fridge.
Not really. I think they're all fake.
It says it in the trailer.
Yeah, well.
That they're real body parts, doesn't
okay.
it?
Okay. All
and
right.
At the beginning, she has a bunch of blood that she
yeah,
explodes.
It was fake blood, clearly.
Clearly.
Clearly. Clearly, clearly, clearly. Anyway, that is Zilla and Zoe, and that is out on May the 17th. And as I said earlier, before the break, before we heard our music, we had a little conversation about the film festivals and indie movies. So this was even further back. This was made back in 2017. So it's taken 2 years, or just over 2 years, for this to get picked up and actually released. So I'm surprised it actually has got a release, to be honest with you. It doesn't look great. I would have thought this would just go straight to VOD. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Okay, where are you going to be, thumb?
Thumb down.
Thumb down for me. Last trailer, please.
Ooh, now this is a zinger. This is probably the best trailer we've had in probably since we started the show, honestly. Like, we've had some good trailers. We've had the Endgame trailers were pretty good, weren't they? The Star Wars trailers were pretty good.
Enjoyed that one.
But none of that compares to the trailer for Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, obviously that was one big ironic introduction from you. So Sonic the Hedgehog, based on the 1990s Sega Mega Drive game, the very popular character at the time, which was all over the place. In you could get anything with Sonic on, t-shirts, inflatable hammers, anything at all.
Good reference.
Yeah, thanks. And you could get anything at all. And hugely popular with an audience. So it's a surprise it took, you know, this long. And it's very surprising that it's in 2019, probably about 20 years later, you actually get a film about this. Why is that? Why are they making Sonic the Hedgehog film? Explain to me why they're making a Sonic the Hedgehog film.
Because there was a Detective Pikachu film.
And no, because they ran out of ideas and a bunch of cynical, awful doofuses.
Doofus, that's a good word.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's also based on a video game, which means that there's no way in hell it's going to be good. Name one good film based on a video game.
There are none.
The highest rated video game movie on Rotten Tomatoes is Rampage.
Right, okay.
Which is 49% or something.
Yeah, they're all pants. All Battleship. That wasn't a computer game, that was like a board game.
Yeah, they don't care.
Connect 4, the movie.
Jumanji.
Oh, yeah. That's not a real game.
It's not a real game.
No.
But it's not.
Mortal Kombat.
Enough. There's the Detective Pikachu.
Anyway.
Is that going to be good?
Anyway, who's in this?
James Marsden playing a...
copper.
Yes, a policeman.
Who befriends the little blue speedster.
Played
who is
by
voiced
Schwartz.
By James Schwartz, yeah. And, of course, the big star of this is the bad guy. What's the name of the character? The bad guy character?
Dr. Robotnik.
Professor something. Dr. Robotnik. That's it. Played by
Jim Carrey,
rubber-faced buffoon himself.
Jim Carrey. Speaking of rubber-faced, this Sonic doesn't look half good, does it?
No, and there has been a huge backlash. I mean, just looking at the trailers, thumbs up and thumbs down. They've got 38,000 thumbs up and 31,000 thumbs down. So it's pretty even, really. And that's had 2 million views. And it's quite a lot of hates. In fact, there's more than that, because it went viral that every single fan of Sonic the Hedgehog absolutely despises the way they've rendered the character in CGI. Mm-hmm. And who's the studio that's created it?
Paramount.
So Paramount, thank you. Paramount have decided that, oh, we better get back to the drawing board, otherwise we're gonna take a bath on this one, and we better re-render this. It's an American saying. They're gonna re-render the CGI character, because obviously they don't need to do anything else. They don't need to reshoot anything, because it's just added in afterwards, the old VFX, and they're gonna recreate him to be less.
He just looks.
I don't know
terrible.
What's he look like. He's just like a child with a mask on.
Speaking of child, there's this really awkward scene at the end where he's in he's in a duffel bag and he's talking, and this woman says to James Marsden, "Is that your child?" And he's like, "No, well, it's a child, but it's not my child."
Yeah,
what
because
the hell?
Because it's not obviously kidnapping children
is hilarious.
Is funny, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, I'm really not sure what this is supposed to be.
For this trailer, what's the most Sonic the Hedgehog song you can think of? Is it Gangster's Paradise?
No, why don't they just use the original music? That would have been ace.
That would have been... Well, the trailer still wouldn't have been made ace just by the use of the music.
No. No. Anyway, in terms of storyline, he says, "I've come to save your planet," although we don't know why. Do
Dr.
we care?
Robotnik, maybe. Yeah. The Dr. Robotnik game for the Sega Mega Drive is amazing. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, what are you going to do with your thumb for Sonic the Hedgehog trailer? Down.
All 10 rings or whatever. Down.
Absolute pants.
Yeah.
Really no interest whatsoever. So let's have a recap. And let's pick your favourite for your trailer of the week, please.
Swamp
Thing. We had... Well, come on, let's show me the list because I can't remember anything.
Swamp Thing, was that two thumbs in the middle?
Yeah. And
Crawl.
Then we had Crawl, which was two thumbs down. Mm-hmm. And then we had Ophelia, which was tums in the middle.
Tums
in the middle. Zilla and Zoe, which was two thumbs down. And Sonic Hedgehog was two thumbs down.
We actually agreed on everything this week.
And we're incredibly negative.
You agreed on everything.
So we're going to have to choose something which we're not that keen on. I'm going to go with Swamp Thing. That's my trailer of the week, Swamp Thing.
Yeah,
what about
okay,
you?
Sure.
Are we having that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. That will be the end of trailers. Thank you very much. This is Papa Biggs. You're listening to the Papa Biggs Show here on Earth Radio. Let's have some more music. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Flight of the Conchords. Beautiful as always.
Fashion is danger.
Yes, it is.
Fashion.
Speaking of danger, what have you been reading and watching?
What you've been reading? What you've been watching? What you've been watching? What you've been reading? What you've been reading? What you've been watching? What you've been watching? What you've been reading? What you've been watching?
Yes, of course. What you've been watching and what you've been reading. The part of the show we look at what you've been watching and what you've been reading in the past 7 days. What have you been reading?
I'm still reading my book Neverwhere by Neil Gaiman, but in between, I've been for work. I've actually been trying to find some short stories to put into a script writing task for my students. And I've been reading quite a few short stories to try and find appropriate ones to turn into feature films for part of this task. And two of the ones I read this week were Skin, which is a short story by Roald Dahl, which I thought I'd read before because I'd read a lot of Roald Dahl short stories, but I hadn't, which is why I carried on reading. I thought, what's this? And it's about an old man who walks past an art gallery, and there's this big posh art exhibition going on, and he recognises the art on the walls, and he thinks, I know who that is. And then he goes inside, and he's an old tramp, and he's a bit smelly, and people are like, oh, get out. He says, no. He says, I've got something to show you. And he takes off his shirt, and he has tattooed on his body artwork, a portrait of a woman on his body by this same artist. And it's really clever, and it transpires. I won't spoil the story, but it's like, oh, how did this happen? What is it? Is it real? Everything like that. And how it transpires, and it's really, really good. So I read that one, and I also read Voices by Alice Munro, which is very, very different, which is more autobiographical, whereas that's obviously quite a fantastical story. This is more autobiographical, about a young girl and her memories of her rather, it's a dodgy mother, but she's quite fastidious, and she remembers her mum being, and she's kind of, it doesn't say like my mum's a bit of a silly cow, but through the story she tells about her mother, it seems her mum was a bit of a nightmare, in very short things and everything like that, and wasn't particularly nice to her own daughter, not horrible to her as in beat her up or anything like that, but was always quite demeaning and putting her down and making her feel stupid and that kind of thing. And it's really nicely put together.
You know what I've realised?
What?
We are really bad at explaining things.
Are we?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I don't know what this is about, other than the fact that there's a not a very good mum.
Yeah, there you go. It's an autobiographical story about a girl who remembers her mum not being very nice, but only in retrospect.
But I think
she didn't think about it at the time, but when she looks back on her life, she realises, actually, I am like I am because my mum was an absolute nightmare. There you go.
But I still think we're pretty bad at explaining things.
Okay. What have you been reading?
Ooh, I read a comic book that I got for really cheap because eBay gave me a £5 voucher. Spent it on this, so I only had to pay postage and packaging. And it's Rogue and Gambit, Ring of Fire. And this was just a fun little short story about these two X-Men. Rogue, who she can fly and she's got super strength and she can't touch people. And Gambit, who can charge non-organic matter to
and play
explode.
Cards.
Yeah.
Okay.
He prefers playing cards.
And he's Cajun.
Mm-hmm.
I know that.
And Rogue is from the south of America.
Remy LeBeau.
You've given me that look of pride on your face. You are so proud of that.
That's like, what we call it.
Waiting for approval.
Is that what it's called? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually
thought
doubted
it was because of the accent.
No.
That
was not a good Cajun accent.
Yeah.
No.
Obviously.
No.
So they have to go on an adventure because this is really strange, like, holiday resort, but it's also couples therapy, but it's also only for mutants.
And okay, that's weird.
They have to check it out because Kitty Pryde, who's the leader of the X-Men at this point, is like, oh, some dodgy stuff going on here. Check it out. But they're not in a relationship at this point.
And are there any Johnny Cash references in it?
No, I have no idea why it's called Ring of Fire.
Okay.
And they get there and there's someone like harvesting mutant powers and mutant memories. And their name is something stupid. It's a new villain.
Okay.
They've got a stupid
name.
They
harvest mutant memories.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't make any sense.
No.
It's just a bundle of fun. It's written by Kelly Thompson, who is very good. And the art is by Pere Perez, who is also very
Pere
good.
Pere Perez.
Yeah. And at the end of it, they're in a relationship.
Ah. All right, so they weren't before this?
No.
This is them getting together. Right, okay.
Yeah.
Clearly I wasn't.
So,
maybe
but
you just
it's
didn't
like,
explain it very well.
I said that. You weren't listening. You never listen. You always just talk for half of the show. Well,
yeah.
More than half of the show.
Yeah, well, that's
don't
the
let
point,
me talk. And then when you finally let me talk, you don't listen to what I have to say.
No, I'm too busy having a sip of water or something.
And the covers for these five issues are by Chris Anker, who is probably my favourite artist at Marvel right now.
Oh, right.
He's got a very sleek...
Sorry, what's his name? Chris what?
Chris Anker, A-N-K-A.
Okay.
He's got a very sleek, clean design. And he's very
quite
good...
sharp edges.
Yeah. He's very good at designing costumes as well. Mm. So this was just a fun ride all around. It's
okay,
very
so you recommend
enjoyable.
That, would you?
I would recommend this.
Jolly, jolly good.
And we also watched some cool things, didn't we, Dad?
Oh, yes, we did. So I'll tell you this came about, right? So I read the George Lucas biography, didn't I, a couple of weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So and it was I was kind of remembering things which I'd kind of forgotten, really, which is about what I actually felt like and what it actually looked like when I first watched Star Wars back in 1977, and how it had a very different feeling and aesthetic to how I remember it now. And I think that's because of I'm only really remembering the reissues and the digitally, not enhanced, the digitally ruined versions. And I think I thought I want to see the original ones because they're very, very hard to get hold of now, because obviously he's kept them back and he only wants the new versions out there. And it's very, very hard to get hold of. So they were only last released back in 2004 on DVD and VHS. I remember your Uncle Biggs had them on VHS. I said, have you still got them? And he went, yeah, I'll dig them out. And I thought, I know somebody who can convert them from VHS to digital. And I thought, yeah, that'd be all right, and I can watch them. And I asked this person, and they said, no, you can get them on DVD on eBay. I'm like, can you? All right. So I had a little look, and yes, you could. So I bought them, all three of the original trilogy, in their original format, how they should have been. And me and you, a couple of nights ago, we got it on the old projector and we watched Star Wars. Not Star Wars Episode 4 A New Hope, Star Wars. And that's why, you know, I've always said it's called Star Wars. And even at the start of this film, it just has the title Star Wars. There's no episode 4 on it. There's no A New Hope. That was all thought of afterwards when the money machine started working. And there's lots of other bits and pieces as well. And once you remove all that extra polish and those pointless extra scenes thrown in there, and the two scenes that were removed in the first place that because they were so rubbish that then got put back in again, it actually works so much better. And it's got what I said, what I was reading in that Lucas biography about it being this dirty, used aesthetic about why it shouldn't look all highly polished and clean, because he wanted it to be look like a real world. And it does work so much better like that. What did you think?
What did I think of the film?
Well, I know you think of the film, you enjoyed the film, but not Star Wars as a film, but this version of Star Wars, how it should be, how it was originally released, because this is the first time you've seen it in its proper form.
But I haven't seen the special edition in a long time.
Yeah, you have. That's the only thing you've ever watched.
But I haven't seen the film in a long time.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, so...
You can't really compare the two.
No. But right. I remember not so long ago we watched like a comparison video.
Yeah.
Like the changes made. And I just remembered some of them. So every so often when there was one that I remembered, I'd turn to you and I'd say,
yeah,
you know what would make
you know
this scene better?
Makes better? Yeah, you did. Yeah. And that was quite funny. And on the back of this, we then said, well, I'll say it now. What did you watch this week, someone?
I watched The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, so we watched it one night and one the following night, didn't we?
Yeah.
And
so
I think probably tonight we'll watch
the
old version of Jedi, yeah. So with Empire.
With Yub Nub.
With Yub, yeah, Neem Nub, yeah.
And, no, Yub Nub.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. With the original song, the original Ewok song.
And the original Max Rebo song.
That's
instead
right.
Of Jedi Rocks.
That's right. Yes, but Empire hadn't been messed about with as much, but it still had that really dirty, gritty quality to it, especially those early Hoth scenes and everything like that.
And
really quite dark, aren't they?
And
brooding.
What I remember is the Cloud City scenes on Bespin, they added lots of windows.
Yeah,
George Lucas
they did add lots
added...
of windows to try and make it look bigger and shinier and everything like that. And also, of course, Boba Fett's voice. He's not a New Zealander, stupid people. So, yeah, so all that ridiculous ruining of the films has... No, it's
I don't
so
think it ruins
better.
The films. I just think it makes them
Do you know what?
Stranger.
I think it does ruin the film. Because not only have they added those scenes and added that CGI and everything like that, they've cleaned up the film itself. So it doesn't have that grainy film quality of the 35mm that it was shot in its original, whereas these do. And it looks, it just feels that aesthetic, like listening to vinyl rather than listening to CD. It just has a much different quality to it. And it just feels like that's the way it should have been.
There was the Wampa scene.
Oh yeah, God,
they
yeah.
added the Wampa and it kind of gave it less of a horror feel. It kind of made it seem a bit...
Because
it was unnecessary. That's,
yeah.
It made the scene worse.
It does, because obviously what we can't see is much better, because when we just get a little bit of a glimpse of it, like in the original version, it's miles better. And then when he adds all the other extra scene, if you're seeing it watching there, and it's building its fire and eating its dinner, and it's just like, what? I don't care. What's the point? What's that adding to the goddamn thing? It's not. It's taking away, if anything else. So, yeah, we watched those two, and they were lovely. And, of course... It's we watched it on May the 4th, didn't we?
Oh yeah, we did.
Yes.
May the 4th be with you.
Thank you very much.
And then people also say on the 5th, what do they say? The return of the Revenge of the 5th?
Do they?
Yeah, but that
I've never
I
that
always
one.
Found that one stupid.
Yeah, that is
didn't
stupid.
Make sense.
That is pointless.
It's
stupid.
Like Sith Appreciation Day.
Mm.
Yeah, shut up. That's not.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Anyway.
It could be the 5th of any month.
That's
this
what we've been reading
there.
And watching this week. Let's have some more music. That was driving all over me, my bloody Valentine. Now, you've got some announcement, which you said at the start of the show, which
big
you'd
news.
Like to make. We would have done it in the middle, but we've done it at the end instead. Go on.
Well, we weren't going to do it in the middle. That was just a segue.
Oh, yeah. Clever.
It was a lie. I lied to you. I'm sorry, guys.
Go on, then. What are you going
to
say?
Oh, Papa Biggs, the Papa Biggs show, is now available to listen to on demand on several different platforms. They include Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, Castbox, Overcast,
oh yeah,
Player FM,
really,
Breaker,
oh,
Stitcher.
I never.
I've just named 8 just off the top of my head.
That's very good.
Yeah,
I couldn't probably name any of those.
Yeah.
Okay. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to update the. You're going to have to do a new jingle, aren't you? Listen to us on.
I will. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Maybe I'll do that
and
for next week.
And then you don't
week.
Have to do it. Yeah, for next week, do it for next week. And then you listen to us on, and then you can name all those things, as well as obviously radio.co.uk, where you can listen to us every single day of the week at 7 a.m. and 5 p.m.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm uploading older episodes, season 3, from the start of season 3, because season 1 isn't good.
No.
It's just, in terms
it is,
of music,
it is still,
in terms of
is
music.
The point is, the download podcasts are archive materials. They are podcasts, aren't they?
You said podcasts.
What did I say?
Podcasts.
Podcasts. Okay, yeah, they are podcasts. We could do them in the pub.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
downloadable.
They are archive and downloadable. You can
without the
to.
Music, because that's a breach of copyright law.
Correct, and we're not against the law here. So it's just all our ramblings, basically.
Yeah,
it's
as
all...
of when we're recording this, there's 7 episodes up there.
Mm.
And considering uploading one a day, there could even be, I don't know, 14 by the time you're listening to this. There could be 15.
Amazing. So get on over to any of those 8 places, okay, and have a listen, or go back and listen to your favorite episodes all over again.
Stop.
But if you can't be bothered doing
collaborate
that,
collaborate and listen.
That's right. But if you can't be bothered doing that, then make sure you listen during the week on SSRadio.co.uk.
Just subscribe. Subscribe to us on Spotify or whatever. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, whichever you use for your podcast.
And share. Share.
Friends.
Spread
yeah.
the word.
Yeah.
And also, you do get on our other social media.
You can get in contact with us at Biggs Papa on Twitter, The Papa Biggs Show on Facebook, SoundCloud, YouTube and Pinterest, at Ersatz Radio on Twitter, Ersatz Radio on Facebook, SoundCloud and YouTube, ersatzradio.co.uk and cafepress.co.uk/ersatzradio.
And breaking news, because as well as our Facebook and Twitter, which are our main social media outlets, Sun 2, who hasn't joined us this week, but has made an announcement that he will do us an Instagram.
Oh yeah, epic, groovy.
So for his probably demographic. So like you said, my demographic is Facebook, your demographic's Twitter, and Sun 2's demographic can be Instagram.
I'll do a subreddit.
That's it. So all the and don't forget to buy our merch as well. Go on, buy yourself a Sun 1 or Sun 2 t-shirt. Yeah, or a Papa Biggs t-shirt, or a mug, or a t-shirt, or a badge. I said t-shirt 5 times. Okay, buy a t-shirt, for God's sakes.
Ersatz Radio laptop bags.
Yeah,
mouse mats.
Yeah, you can get all sorts, you know.
Well, this is a custom-made one. Mama Biggs made this.
Yeah, she did.
Ages ago, this is amazing.
Because it says
7 a.m. daily.
You should take a picture of that one and stick it on our social media.
It says the Papa Biggs breakfast show.
Yeah, back in the day when we were doing the breakfast. Well, it still goes out. If you're having your breakfast at 7 a.m, you can still call it the breakfast show,
yeah.
I suppose.
Are you eating your breakfast now?
Yeah, not really.
Right now,
right
at
now.
7:54
at 5 p.m.
Or
5:54 p.m.
Yeah.
In the evening.
Or
depending
where
you are in the world, of course, because you might be in the USA, you
oh
might be
God.
In South America, you
Ooh.
Might be in somewhere else in
Ooh.
Europe, or even in Australia, who knows?
At 7 a.m. in America.
Or Japan, or somewhere in the Middle East. You could be anywhere. You could be in Antarctica, you could be in Alaska, you could be on the moon.
7
do we broadcast that far? I don't know
like
we do.
About midnight in America.
You could be in Atlantis. You could be in the middle of any ocean.
7 a.m. in Atlantis. Here is about 5 p.m. in Atlantis.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go, so that's weird. Okay.
That's crazy.
You know what? That's all we've got time for. We've rambled on enough now. I'm afraid that is all we've got time for this week. So you need to say cheerio, someone.
Mm, I like Cheerios.
Okay, and I shall say Cheerio.
You know, I don't think I've actually had Cheerios. I've had Hoops, which are the Aldi brand, but I don't think I've ever had Cheerios.
They're getting done for ripping off a certain brand. You know, because you commented yourself, how on earth do they get away with it? Well, there's one they're not getting away with.
Which one's this?
I can't remember. But but they're not getting away with it. It was a bag or something like that. It wasn't even the food ones, because the food ones are real rip-offs. But it was a bag. Anyway, we're going to leave you with the Rolling Stones and Honky Tonk Woman. Join us again next week here on the Papa Big Show. Goodbye.
Tschüss.